All right. Okay, so we're going to talk about God as creator, which has just really been on my heart lately. To start out, I wanted to just relay an experience when I was in California. So I am thoroughly, and I told Chayton and Bailey this yesterday, but I'm thoroughly enamored by whales. I'm awestruck by them, and they're just magical to me. So I knew I was going out to California, Central Coast. I'm like, I wonder if I can see whales. So I did a kind of chartered little boat, and there's just five people on the boat, and this captain that took us out, and it was 2 hours, and they say they have a pretty good chance, and June and July are great months for seeing humpback whales. And so I was like, okay, we're going out and not seeing anything, but I'm like, with anticipation, I'm just excited. You know, last year, being able to see orca whales in the San Juan Islands for the first time ever seeing whales, I was like, okay, I want to see some humpback whales. And so, you know, we're going out there, and he's like, hey, there's a bunch of, sardines is what it was, school of fish. You could kind of see them off. And he's like, I can see that there's kind of a feeding frenzy like happening. He's like, can you kind of see, I think that there's some sea lions there. And as we're getting closer and closer, and all of a sudden this humpback whale just jumps up. It's a distance, just jumps way out of the water twice and then does it again. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like if somebody was sitting next to me, like my face would just be like, oh, I'm just like lit up. Anyway, my face was glowing. And so we're getting closer and there are literally hundreds of sea lions. I have never seen such a thing. And we can see them from the distance coming in these groups further. And they're like coming towards this school of fish that we can't really see, and they're just feeding. So you see these sea lions coming in and out of the water and kind of jumping in and out, and these whales, and the whales are feeding as well, and the whales just feed on the fish too. And so it ends up being about 6 whales over the course of our time out there, and we see their tails, and they're going in and out of the sea lions, and then one like comes up to us and then really close and then goes right underneath the boat. Another one comes next to the boat and just kind of turns over and basically like waves at us. And I'm just like, what is happening? And he's like, to see all of these things in one time, he's like, we usually see something, but to see them jump out of the water, to see their fins, their tails, to see that many sea lions, to see them come right up to the boat, because they're pretty friendly. They're very helpful whales as well, which is really interesting. I can't remember the word, but I'm just going to use helpful. But he used a term of whales that are the most helpful, like they'll rescue, you know, people who are stranded and do things and anyway, help out. But I was just like in awe, and this like all happened in like 2 hours, and then we went back, and I was just like, everybody I saw when I got back to California, back to the coast and my friends, I was just like, oh my gosh, I saw whales. And it was magical, but it just like is, it just light, I just feel like a little kid, and now my goal is to go around the world and just see whales. Like I just want to see them all. I want to see all the whales. But it was, I don't know, there's something about a creature like that large that's just, I don't know, it's awe-inspiring. And I've just found myself, like I go through these like spurts, I'm always amazed by creation, but I feel like even lately it's just getting just deeper and deeper. And I'm choosing to step into those experiences. And my friend who I went out there to visit, she didn't feel comfortable going on the boat. She's like, I don't like to be on a boat that I don't feel like I can get off of. She's just dealing with some anxiety. And I said, no, that's totally fine. So I just went by myself. And normally in the past, I wouldn't do it by myself. But I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to experience it. And I'm just going to take it in. So I used to have in my mind, like, if I don't do it with somebody else, it doesn't make it as rich. And I was like, well, either I can miss out on it or go. And the people on the boat were lovely. And the captain who was guiding it was just amazing. But I'm in awe, you know, from this trip, and just, you know, even just finding the sand dollars on the beach and just how nature and creation and all that. So when I was thinking about what I want to teach on with the names of God, I wanted to do God as creator. So that's what we're going to talk about. And I stumbled upon this blog post by a guy, his name's Chris Baglow. I want to give him credit. I don't know who he is. It comes from a book. But it's from this series on faith and science, and which I haven't read anything else. I just stumbled upon this. But as I was reading through it, I loved his take on God as creator. And he focuses on love, and love being the motivating factor. which is an amazing reminder. So I'm going to be reading some of the stuff that he wrote and then reading some scriptures that I feel like fit with those as I was looking through scriptures about creation. And then hopefully this will kind of gel and come together and spark more awe and wonder for you guys as well. So he starts off by saying, Christian doctrine of creation, however, refers to God who, by a love, power, and wisdom that are absolute and unimaginable, brings into being things distinct from himself. Creation is the beginning of God's revelation of himself, in which his reality is manifested in his creatures in their very becoming to be, their very coming to be, and continuing in existence. So I love that it reveals him just by them coming into existence, but then continuing to exist. And we'll be talking about that. And he brings up 4 points that he thinks are distinctive elements for God as creator that are important. In Romans 1:20, it says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. Talking about like people are without excuse not knowing that there's a God. You can't deny looking around that there is a creator. And a dear friend of mine from Uganda, one of the missionaries out there, he had this quote about God's glory. And it's, the glory of God is his splendor, beauty, and majesty revealed in his creation, his people, and especially the face of Jesus. And I love that. So I'll say it one more time. The glory of God is his splendor, beauty, and majesty revealed in his creation, his people, and especially in the face of Jesus. And so as God creates, he's revealing himself. When we look at, you know, harmony, when I look at those whales feeding and those sea lions and those little fish, and the guy's going through like how those fish then feed on phytoplankton and, you know, and just all this, all the different layers. And it's interesting because the humpback whale is one of 4 whales that doesn't slough off all of its skin. So there's skin that's left on its fins, its flippers, what, I don't know how to call them. Anyway, so barnacles grow. And those barnacles, in turn, help it to ward off orca whales that come to attack them. Because the orca whales don't want to be scratched by the barnacles. So anyway, just like, you just look at all of it and you're like, oh my gosh, like it's all just to keep this like amazing balance. This guy who wrote this, he says, this Christian belief in a creator God has 4 distinctive elements. So I'm going to read those and then we'll go through each one. One is that he creates the universe from nothing. That's distinct. Another, God creates the universe with time. Then God creates the universe with freedom. And God creates the universe out of the Trinity. And so we'll pull apart those. So going back to his first thing, God creates the universe from nothing. He says God uses no pre-existing material to create the universe. God's act of creation causes matter, space, time, and even the very laws which govern the universe to exist. And he says, and I love this, regardless of the scientific explanations of how it came to be, right? For me personally, I don't care. You know, I don't care the method God used and how clear it is, you know, or whatever it is. I don't care. But I know he did it. Like that's where I am. So like, I don't want to get into arguments about nobody was there except for him, you know? So exactly how it took place and how things formed. But he created all of this out of nothing. In one divine action from all of eternity, creates and sustains all that exists. So in Genesis 1:1-2, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Out of nothing, he created. Isaiah 42:5 says, thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, and who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it. That's who he is. That's what he is capable of. So not only he creates this whole world, but he gives us breath and then places his spirit in us. In Acts 17:26-28, And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of our own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. And I love that, like, just thinking about God as creator, he created all the diversity even in humanity, right? And places that they would dwell, and a lot of periods and times, and but for the sake that they would come to know him, they would find their way to him. Which takes us, not yet, but later, it takes us into what this guy talks about was love, that creation is out of an overflow of love. His second point, God creates a universe with time. For God, who transcends time, to create at the first moment of the universe is no different than what God is doing at this moment. Right now, as much as at any time in the past, God is saying, it's not just that he said and it happened, he is continuing to say, let there be light. Let the earth teem with living things. God's act of creation is not a historical event that happens within time, but it's instead a metaphysical reality describing the universe's dependence on God's eternal act of creating, which transcends time. And I don't know if I've ever thought about it that way, right? I've always just kind of thought about it like, boom, God created it, right? And then like, oh, but he's still creating. And I love that. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So when we come into Christ, we become new creations, right? New creatures. We're humans and we're born, but when we choose him, we are reborn, right? And so that's new creation. It's the act of continuing to create. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Right? So like, and we all know this, but you know, as we get older, we're like, okay, our bodies are, they will deteriorate, right? But God is still creating. And even though in us, it's not the physical on the outside, it's inside. He's continuing to create and renew and refresh and help to guide us to who he created us to be. In Revelations 21:5, he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Not I made all things new, right? I am making. He is continuing to make. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I love that. So, going back, God created the universe out of nothing. And he created it with time. There was not time. He created it with a sense of time. And now going to God creates the universe with freedom. He says that God is free to create the cosmos and to do it in the way he sees fit. Not the way we think it should be. God, who is love, chose to make this universe. He did not have to create in order to be God. Like, being creator is not a defining feature of him, but it is a part of who he is. But he was God before he created. And I think that's important. Let's see, where were they? The perfect freedom by which God creates means the universe was created out of perfect love. He was not forced to create. He chose to create, and he created out of love. In 1 John 4:16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. If God is love, everything he does is out of that. Right? He is. That's not like a portion of him. He is love. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. Because his whole purpose was for everyone to come to know him. Right? He created us out of love. And so in the process, in the story, in all of this journey, It's to redeem and bring us back to where we belong. And then this last one, which I don't know if I've ever really fully thought of, is God creates a universe out of the Trinity. And I've heard verses, but I love bringing it together in that thought. This guy says, creation is the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who in a perfect communion of love produced the universe out of divine love and goodness. Everything created exists because of God's inexhaustible, merciful love. I'm going to say that again. Everything created exists because of God's inexhaustible, merciful love. God has no need to create. Rather, the universe is the product of love overflowing and merciful love, and is therefore the foundation and deepest meaning of all things. So, you know, we talk about like we are designed to love, and he created out of love, right? And so like this harmony in our world that got thrown off, still the earth is wanting to go back to that harmony, right? And it says that the earth is groaning and waiting for the sons of men to be revealed, right? For love through all of us to be fully actualized, because he created out of love. So that is the essence of all of creation. Okay, Genesis 1, 2 says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So thinking about the Trinity. In Job 33, 4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Not gave me life. Gives me life. Continues, right? Continues to breathe that life. God continues to create. And if you even think the way that our bodies are designed, new cells are constantly being created, right? Just in who we are as humans, that we are able to cut ourselves and new flesh forms. It heals because God is continuing to create. In Colossians 1, 15 through 17, he, speaking of Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So, creation itself is an act of mercy, of God causing goodness where it has no claim or where it is absent. The freedom that we find in the natural development of the universe is something we should expect if we see it in the light of Christ. And that freedom, love, right? So I'm just going to go back through those three things real quick. And I want us to have a discussion, just what's popping out for you guys. But he first says, God creates a universe from nothing, creates a universe with time. He creates a universe with freedom, and specifically focusing on perfect love. And he creates a universe out of the Trinity. And so for me, like, I just can't deny there's a creator. And I think that's some, I say I think a lot because I don't, I hate trying to state things as facts. For me, to continue to recognize him in creation is what often keeps me grounded. It's one of the things, the beauty that surrounds me is one of those anchors that takes me back to him. When I'm feeling overwhelmed by life, when I'm feeling stuck inside my head, when I'm feeling so overwhelmed by my internal stuff, it is often throughout my life creation that brings me back. And so going back to that verse, that the way that he created the universe, let me go back to that one. When he says, no, that's another one. Where was it? Oh, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse in the things that have been made, right? He is represented. And as we go back, like his nature is represented through what he's created. And sometimes I don't feel him. right? I'm gonna be honest. Like, sometimes I don't feel him. Sometimes I feel very distant. Sometimes I feel so overwhelmed by my own emotions and my own stuff that I feel very distant. And it's looking at this to be like, oh, but he's here. Oh, but he's good. Oh, but look at that flower. And even the smallest things, and that's what I love going on hikes with my mom. And I've talked about this a lot, but I really do. My mom has such a childlike wonder and awe. And it's just, it's helped me to slow down. We go on these hikes and it does not go fast. And we stop and we take pictures of all the different Indian paintbrush. Or we look at this little waterfall, this trickle of this green moss or something like that. And the smallest of things, these gigantic trees and the shade or the wind that's blowing, or, you know, just all these things that we witness, these hummingbirds that come through. And, you know, like I'll tell her, my hummingbird's arrived. Right? Or she'll come to my yard and we'll go through and like, oh, this bush is blooming, like smell that. And it's helped to awaken more for me that awe. And so I'm really grateful for her in that. But that's an anchor for me because I get lost in my thoughts. And sometimes I'll go times without like really sitting with him or thinking about him, or I won't read for a while. But I'll go out in my garden and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is only here because of him, right? Like, look at this tree. Like, look at like that week when I noticed, you know, the tulip flowers in my tulip tree. Like that, I'm like seriously like in awe of those little things. And I don't want to ever lose that. And so I'm trying to find specific things from the smallest awe and wonder to the large things like going whale watching, to place those things in my life to go and see it, to see, just to see his beauty. Mm. Because for me, I love that this was focused on it's out of love, because that's what I then also want to attribute it to. Not just in awe of what he's created, but in awe that this is an overflow of his love. And take me back to that groundedness of his nature of love. So hopefully that all came together. I just really love those points and the way that he worded things. And I felt like those scriptures highlighted. He didn't have a lot of scriptures, so I was kind of like, okay, I want to see like where does God speak about these things? But those of you on the interwebs, whoever might be listening, may you be captured by God's wonder and majesty.